Hey, Brendan.
Hello. Wait, no, I'm not doing that anymore. Hey, Alan, how's it going?
The Not a Thing podcast, switching it up for episode 111. It's crazy out of here. 111.
And it's depression free. I've moved past last week. It's a new day. It's a new
Excellent.
week.
Good. Good,
It's a new
good.
sports season.
Yeah. Has it been something that's depressed you recently? Is that what you're trying to imply with that? Is it?
Well, I mean, no. I was just talking about last week with the A's loss.
Oh,
I didn't bring my usual pep to the show. It
okay.
was more anger and despondence.
Well, I'm really
So I figured
glad.
since we have a guest this week, we should, I should step it up a little bit.
That's true. We do have a guest this week coming all the way from across the sea. Please, a rousing welcome to our guest, Jürgen Holst.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hey, how are
So tell us exactly where you are. Paint us a picture.
I'm located exactly 20 minutes outside of Oslo in Norway, in a place called
It's spelled with a K.
Kolbotn, where it's dark and getting colder now because fall is coming, or as my 4-year-old son keeps saying, "Pop, winter is coming." So I don't know what he's been watching, but he's been watching a lot of Netflix lately, and that can't be good.
They get that so young, don't they?
Oh, so young. Any day now he's gonna want a wolf.
I think we're setting a record for our podcast for biggest time difference in recording, previously held by Alan Meridian at 3 hours from the East Coast of the United States.
Oh, not true. I had one from was it
Oh,
Barcelona?
Spain. That's
I did
right.
Barcelona. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is
That's
that the
right.
same? That's the same time zone, right? Central
That's
European.
exactly the same time zone.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then I apologize. It's nothing special. Nothing special. Longest guest record. Longest
Right.
guest record.
For
I
this
can move to
guest.
the opposite side of my couch, and that might add a few minutes.
Everybody take 3 paces back.
So does Norway get the Indian summer kind of thing that we're currently loving over here in California?
We've had this year. Last year was pretty cold, pretty early, but this year we've actually got it pretty warm still, which is unseasonably warm is what I'm trying to say. And the time difference means it's very early. It's been a crazy set of weather now for a couple of months actually. So it's I'm hoping it won't be as cold as it was last winter, but. And so it's looking promising.
Cool. So, Jürgen, what is your thing?
What is my thing? Well, this week or in general?
In general, but if you have something this week.
Well, this week in particular, I guess it's fantasy football. I don't know if Bren wants to talk about that, but
I mean, hey, let's get it out there. I am an open book. As the audience knows, I don't hold grudges.
would make it so difficult.
Yeah, for those not in the know, all three of us, along with some other folks, are in a fantasy football league together. And this week, the matchup was your two teams.
Yep,
Yes,
there was a
indeed.
matchup. There were two teams, and there was practically the same score.
So
Practically
close.
the same score. So close.
I only lost by 0.6 points,
That's right.
which would have worked out to about 6 yards,
That's right.
Which that would be about the equivalent of what Marshawn Lynch sat out in that first series while he was getting worked over before he came into the game.
Oof.
I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter.
Anymore.
It was a well-fought match, as much as it's fought that we pick players that are actually doing things on the field and we just kind of on a computer.
We just kind of sit there and guess which ones are going to be doing
Yeah.
well.
I
Yeah, I
think
know.
this guy's going to run far, I think he's going to hit people hard.
And he's going to catch the ball if it ever comes in his direction.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking.
Oh, that's been my problem recently. I think wide receivers have been giving me next to no points this season. So
yes.
And running backs and quarterbacks.
I think I have the lowest points for, or I did at one point.
You do, in fact, at 416 points. The next lowest being 458.
Wow. Wow.
My new addition to the league, Angela.
Well, I think this whole thing started when a couple of weeks ago when, was I playing you, Alan?
I think it was. I think you were, well, no. I think you and I were like the first matchup.
Right. And after four games, you lost the first four games. I've been in a couple of other fantasy league with what you people refer to as soccer, where people sign up for it and then they just don't change their teams around at all. So I think I sent you a message on Twitter asking if you were even partaking. And then Ted picked up on that, and suddenly there was some smack talking going on.
Yeah,
and it kind of added some pressure to Brendan in ahead of this last week, I think.
Yeah,
Which didn't turn out to his advantage.
And I won this week. It was great.
Yeah, Alan's 1-4. He's on the board.
Yeah. I'm ahead of the Raiders, although they didn't play this week. That doesn't count.
That's just not fair, kicking a lying team like that.
And actually, you beat Angela, who was the second least points.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go.
So it all makes sense.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'd like to take this opportunity to apologize to America for my failure.
If you beat a Norwegian, that's pretty.
And I'd be like the first. I'd like to be the first to welcome our Norwegian conquerors.
Thank you. We've been there before, you know.
They're back.
Yeah, we've got some land still up on the far up north northeast coast,
and
wineland. So
you've already stolen our women, right?
Yeah. That's true. I did. only one in particular, but that's enough.
Yeah. Also friend of the podcast, Cordelia, one of our first guests. That was 12A, show 12A, if I'm remembering correctly, all
that
the
is
way back.
Correct.
Just about, yeah, it was about 2 years ago, I guess.
It only took us 100 episodes to get to you.
Well, that must mean it, there's 100 more interesting people, or 100 more things, or not a things, in between. But it was, I think the only reason that I won this week, I think, must be because an amazing point score by Demarius Thomas.
Yes, that was very impressive.
He had a pretty sweet week, which he doesn't usually. I was actually trusting Larry Donald to perform pretty well, but. He got the massive score of 0 points.
Oh no!
That's accurate.
Yes. Oof.
Wow, you had a goose egg and you won.
Yes.
Fantastic.
And the best part was the week before, Larry Donald did really, really well, which he has not been in the habit of doing. And I think my favorite tweet was someone saying that football is a game that start slowly, and then once it starts getting in shape, and by week 4 or 5, it's in Larry Donald shape.
I think this would be a good time to say I hate the Cincinnati defense. They actively worked against me, scoring -3 points.
Right, right.
Which I lost by, I don't think we've said yet, 0.6 points.
Yes, that it was very close in every sense this week.
I think next time I need to pray harder to Jesus.
that could do the work.
Or pay off more people. You have to pay more people off is what it is.
Yes.
Pay anybody.
I mean, I'm just starting to get into the I think the whole stats system and everything that they actually do on the fantasy football website, like recapping each week and everything, is pretty impressive.
Oh, I love that. The auto-generated like stories of
yes.
For you know the recaps are for those that haven't seen fantasy football recaps. Those are not written by people, yet they are written like they are written by people. They have kind of a it's mostly a stats rundown, but it's written in sentences. It's not just like points scored, points for, points against. They actually have kind of a almost a sports writer lilt to them.
Yeah, they're canned phrases that sound just like announcers. So really, you could have robots. You could have live announcers. It wouldn't make a difference.
It's really fascinating. And like you said, it's like they have a gigantic stadium of writers that sit there and write these recaps from week to week. And it's really individualized, and it's got different lines from week to week, so you don't feel that it's repetitive. It really doesn't feel like it's done by a computer.
Does that really grind your gears as a person who has done copywriting?
Well, it's actually interesting when you ask what's my thing. I mean, what I do these days is I work for a consultancy company that focuses on sustainability and what we call reinventing growth. So what we do is we work with companies to try to predict the future a little and help them set up their business plan, their long-term strategies to be more fit for the future. And one of the themes we're working along right now is the growing the entry of robots into the workplace, of artificial intelligence and computers and robots, and how that's gonna affect the workplace and the human capital of labor. And this is a pretty sweet example of computers and artificial intelligence doing a pretty nice job, I must say. It's as a writer, I'm glad I've branched out and also do other things and not just writing, because this is a really good example of robots doing a good job of it.
Yeah, Brendan, are we adding this to our list of not a thing podcast, approved robotics?
I think for now it's safe. I don't want to come off as some sort of robot apologist or sympathizer. I think for now it's okay. They can have the football.
I think when you look when you talk to people whether they approve of this development or not, it pretty much depends on what kind of job they themselves do.
Uh-huh.
if your job is mounting cars in the Fremont Tesla factory, then you're not that big a fan of robots growing up. But if you're a surgeon maybe, then you're a little you don't have that much of a problem with it. It pretty much depends on whether your job is in danger of being replaced by robots or not.
Hmm.
Which I think a study that came out earlier this year said something like over the next 2 decades, 47% of current U.S. jobs would be in danger of being replaced by robots.
Well, I don't have to worry about that. In technical support, humans can barely do that job, so good luck getting a robot. Good luck getting a robot to get grandma to power cycle her computer.
Does this computer come programmed with patience?
Yeah. No, that's a router.
Yes.
Press the router.
Oh,
the red button.
Yeah, that is a really, really good point. I think, you know, the service industry has there's probably ways to kind of work around like things. I don't know if it could never be like a wholesale replacement, but possibly part of the chain, like, right, you know, something that would do a little more of a behind the scenes kind of thing, maybe not out in front with the customer.
No.
Based on how people react to having to talk to people from other countries, I don't know how they would handle talking to a robot. People get very happy when they say, "Oh, you're here in America? That's so nice. I can understand your accent."
Awesome. Awesome. Well, what's okay. That sounds like a just a really cool kind of gig. Like I do see your tweets every once in a while, and I'm wondering, like, what is the coolest thing you've learned? Or maybe not the coolest one, just the one that's most the closest to your brain right now.
I think the closest thing right now is this whole robotics thing, because we're spending a lot of time working on it. But I've also learned a lot more about how long it takes for new things to take hold in society as far as change goes. I mean, our long-term goal is to move away from a culture of technology and a culture of using resources and into a culture that takes better care of the resources that we have and harms the climate much less.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a believer, put it that sense, or accepted the facts of climate change many years ago, and I've always been puzzled by the people who don't. But I understand that there's been a debate. But if you look at the like the gears of society that are in motion, it's pretty shocking how long it takes for big business and for big governments and everything to change these things around. That's the one thing I've learned. And if you look at how if we're trying to move out of the fossil fuels age and into some new energy sources, renewables like solar and stuff like that, there are a lot of things that need to be in place for people to be like, okay, let's switch. And that's kind of surprising and has been a bit of a learning thing. These things are pretty established in society, and the more established they are in society, the longer it's going to take for things to change.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You guys live in California, which is pretty progressive, but there's many other parts of the world that are much slower.
Well, I think a lot of it for California is at least like the things I can think of are you almost have to relate it to something like cool in order for people to kind of get it. For example, the Nest thermostat, right?
Yeah. Right.
It's a learning thermostat. It can tell when you're in the building or not, so it adjusts. So it's not just you set a temperature and then that's just what it is. And if you're in the building or not, it doesn't matter. It's heating the house or cooling the house, even when you're not there, that kind of thing. Having the Nest is like, oh, well, it'll automatically do it. Plus, A, it's designed to look crazy, crazy amazing. It's much better than any kind of dial or anything. So it has that kind of techno lust factor. But it also has a lot of interesting kind of bits and bobs technologically. You can talk to it from your phone even when you're not in the house, so you can kind of prep it.
Love it. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you almost have to have a lot. Oh, by the way, and it will probably save you money by using it and be a lower drain on resources, etc. So I think like kind of burying or rather not burying but marrying it with the like kind of a different lust factor, you know, makes it more, oh yeah, green, sure, let's do that.
And I think Tesla's also done a very, very good job of that with their cars. That when they came out with the Model S, people were like, really, that's an electric car? And I know the first people who started test driving it that I talked to, they were blown away by the power of it, because it totally messed with the understanding of an electric car and how everything's integrated and feels like you're driving around in a giant iPhone, which to me is not, that's not a bad thing. You know?
I think the you know, starting with the Roadster, you know, like blowing away the perception of it being slow, you know, really, really connecting it with a more like racing and enthusiast kind of thing. And then having the sedan be, you know, what it is, I think it's still kind of out of the realm for folks just looking for a car, but there are so many Nissan Leafs and electric Fiats and, you know, the fully electric Fusions around, at least in California, that it's all glomming off of that, like, you know, that kind of promise of it, that I think really, you know, Tesla spearheaded.
Oh, absolutely. And the interesting thing is, you see here in Norway, is that the government installed a policy that would allow for severe growth in the amount of electric cars on the market. So they kind of cut the import taxes and took away the road taxes and the annual bills of whatever and whatever, so that owning electric cars became a fraction of the price of buying a gas-powered car, which happened, I think, 5 years ago. And what they didn't foresee when they accepted those policies or instilled those policies was the introduction of the Tesla, because 5 years ago, electric cars were not all sexy time. So when the Tesla came in, people started buying the Tesla because suddenly you can get an awesome sports car that would cost the same as a regular station wagon. And of course, people would much rather have the Tesla. And by the way, it also gave you, made you feel like you were doing your stuff to help save the world. So now I think for several months last year, Tesla was the most sold car in Norway.
Wow.
I think we have something like 35,000 electric cars in Norway at the moment, which is around 10%. If I'm not entirely wrong,
that's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. Or if it's 1%, I don't know. But it's an incredible amount of electric cars on roads in Norway, and especially around Oslo. So my in-laws were here until last week, and just drive around, there's like, there's a Tesla, there's a Tesla, there's a Tesla. That's the fifth one in a minute. So they're everywhere.
Yeah, I still think the rate, I don't know, for me, it's very skewed because I see them a lot, but I also, I think, you know, working in tech, it became the, like, CEO car very quickly and is starting to become, like, the VP car. So right. when it gets down to the lab manager car, all over.
Yeah, I imagine you, where you guys live also, it's still pretty much the... You don't have that gigantic price difference as we've gotten then in Norway, because you can imagine if every gas-powered car that you bought new cost three times as much as it does today, but the Tesla costs the same as it does today, then the Tesla becomes a very attractive option.
Oh, and that's what's really happening in Norway.
So, and they're also allowed to drive in the bus lane, and they go through toll roads for free and that kind of stuff. And now, so it's been a very efficient policy, a super efficient policy, much more efficient than anyone expected, because 5 years ago, no one foresaw the introduction of the Tesla. And the Nissan Leaf has kind of stayed in on the coattails of this of the Tesla success.
Mm-hmm.
So in the last month, actually, Nissan Leaf was the most sold car in Norway. Now... politicians and the regular auto industry are all, hey, we gotta shut down this policy, you know, it's too successful, too many electric cars. But so there's a big debate happening now whether what to do with that, because it's supposed to go on until 2017 or until the amount of cars, a certain percentage, is reached. So it's not often you hear politicians talking about shutting down a policy because it's too successful, too efficient. We've reached our goals. We must stop now. This is not the society we really wanted.
You know, I hear things like that about Norway, and sometimes I wonder if you have mastered time travel technology, because it sometimes feels like you're from the future.
Well, I think sometimes I feel that way as well, and then I leave my house, and then I'm reminded that we kind of travel past in some ways, we've traveled past the good future into that future of WALL-E, where we're all on the spaceship being fed by computers. there's good and bad things about having a giant bank out in the at the bottom of the ocean, and I think there's things Norway is doing well regarding universal health care and some other aspects, and there's challenges. I don't think it's possible to solve all problems with a giant bucket of money, and we're seeing some signs as a society that we're getting very content and happy with ourselves, and that we think we're a little bit better than anyone else, and it's also going to be interesting to see now that we're talking about not getting so much oil up out of the ground, because of climate change, we can also see that we may have to leave 3/4 of what's left out there in the ground, and not everyone's too happy about that, and it becomes a question of money versus should we get that money up out of the ocean floor, or should we let other parts of the world have to curtail their growth more, then it's not, we don't always come across as so sympathetic.
Well, your money looks really interesting. I don't know if, how long has that been a story? I only saw that yesterday about Norway is going to introduce some new bills in 2017, I think.
Yeah, that's been came out this week, the decision to have the architecture company Snøhetta and this design company called the Metric System, they're launching some new bills that are pretty sweet.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen them yet, Brendan, but they have kind of an iconic thing on one side, and then on the other side of the bill, it's like they made the pixelated version of that thing. It's like
it looks like a Kelly Moore paint swatch. On the other side, it's like, oh no, I want the burnt sienna and the.
Yeah, I think they're pretty cool looking. I worked with the guys at the Metric System who did them on a couple of projects before, and they're very talented, and I think they look really modern and fresh and cool.
And the reason that Norway has this fancy fun money is because they're not part of the Eurozone.
Yes, that's right. We're in a strange relationship with the Euro. With the Eurozone, we get some of the things and some of the things we've said no thank you to. So we're within the working zone where there's a free flow of workers. So if you have a work permit within the European Union, then you can also work in Norway. But there's not a completely free flow of goods, I believe. Mm-hmm. So you still have to pay customs on some things that that enter the country. And we have our own bills still. If anyone still uses bills, I don't know. I don't. That's a word anymore myself. The one interesting thing that happened yesterday was that the new national budget for next year was presented by the government, and the one thing that caught the most attention, I think, was this fact that they're raising the customs free limit from 200 kroners, which is about 30 bucks, to 500 kroners, which is about 90 bucks, which means you can buy things online and have it sent to your house for up to $90 now without paying customs on it, where it used to be $30. And Norway is a pretty small country. We only have 4.5-5 million inhabitants. And the online stores that we have are doing okay because they're selling they're kind of protected by this limit of $30, because if you're going to buy, if you're going to buy a pair of Nikes, then you'll buy it from a Norwegian store, a physical store. You'll go to a physical store and buy it, because if you go to Nike.com and buy it, then you're going to have to pay customs on it, so it'll end up being the same price anyway. But with the change of this limit, then there are those who are saying, finally, we can shop like the rest of the world. And then on the other side, you have anyone who runs a small business, small physical brick-and-mortar business, are saying that they'll be run out of business.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so it'll be interesting to see whether that actually comes through and how long that development will take. I don't think it'll happen as overnight as some people are yelling loudly in the streets saying that it will.
Yeah, and similar to what you were saying about how long it takes for like the wheels of government or business to turn, I think like just human kind of capacity for change, it's very unevenly applied, right? I think there are certain things certainly technology, like everyone uses smartphones, and you couldn't say that, even let's say like 10 years ago. But certain things are very like the same. So I think that, buying patterns and habits, I think, are still very much in flux about like if you buy something online versus if you buy something in a store. I think that is still not a solid enough like block that you can just point to like, oh yeah, now everyone buys this online, or now everyone buys this in a store, and that is very cleanly changed over.
Yeah, I don't think it'll happen overnight. I mean, from my background in marketing, we've always talked about these three segments, where you have the early adopters, which I think is like 10% of people, and then you have the late adopters, which are the bottom 10%, the ones who lag all the way. Well, the entire rest of the world have this, fine, and now I'm forced onto this system, so I'll move on to the system now. But you have 80% of the population in the middle there who, to some degree or other, are not going to run out and buy the latest things, are not going to abandon the entire belief system. Those top 10%, they really want to be those people. They want to be known as pioneers. They identify with being those people who always have the new thing and always do the new thing first. You have 80% of the population who are just like slowly moving along and finding, oh, this is interesting, I'll do that. But it's not going to be like an overnight change in how people buy things online. And Norwegians are not that quick to change anyway. So I think people are still going to go to stores and buy clothes, and are still going to go to stores and buy things and try things on and feel them before they buy them. And I think people have been buying books and games and stuff like that online for years. And I don't think this development affects that. I mean, I haven't bought a physical book in years, but that's because I enjoy just buying them digitally and having them on my iPad.
Oh, not a Kindle person.
Well, no, I have an iPad, and I figure I don't need one iPad and then a Kindle for reading books if I can have everything. I have the Kindle app, so I get that onto my iPad.
Yeah, every once in a while I consider getting a Kindle, and then I abandon it, and then I think this year it might be the year I change, only because this is the first year that airlines are like, yeah, you can use electronics during takeoff and landing. Sorry about that. We were, really
we were freaking out. That was, yeah. There was no reason. We apologize. We're really just freaking out.
Yeah.
We have a fear of the new.
So I think, but I don't know. I think it might actually be too late, because I also like this last. The last couple of flights I've been taking, I used my iPad, and it was like, yeah, this is great. I'm good. And I think I missed the period where it was like a better idea to have a Kindle versus a separate device, or as a separate device. But
well, I'm gonna keep using my Kindle. I feel like I need to, since I killed my first one doing something you can't do to a regular book. If you step on a book, it's fine. It's just a book. But if you step on a Kindle, that's toast.
Yeah. But I don't know why you would buy a Kindle if you already have an iPad when you can just download the Kindle app.
Hmm.
Well, I guess I had the Kindle first.
That's cool. Yeah. That's fine.
And I like the e-ink. I don't have. It's not a backlit. I don't have one of those fancy backlit ones. So it's kind of like a book.
Yeah. So I was kind of fuck out when my iPad switched to night mode the other day. I had it set to switch to night mode automatically. So I'm reading in bed and my wife turns off the light and suddenly my screen goes black with white type. And I was like, shit, I broke it now. But because it looks real nice and it's much easier to read at night in the darkness like that.
So the Reddit client that I use, I will admit, Reddit is a thing. It takes up way too much time for me. But the Reddit client I use, Alien Blue, on the iPad and the phone, I browse it completely in night mode. I just find it's nicer on my eyes than the regular day mode.
Huh.
Yeah.
So I didn't even know there were such things as Reddit clients.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah. What? This is a thing? What's this thing?
Clearly a thing. Clearly a thing.
On iOS. Anyway, Alien Blue. That's my client of choice.
Hmm. I'll have to give that a check up. I have so much more time to spend, really, by being more on Reddit. So much time to waste.
Yeah, I gotta use all my time on Reddit to look at Imgur.
Yes, I need to spend more parts of my life, more percentages of my life doing that. So anyhow, hey, back to the football, Brendan. Who are you playing next week?
This coming week, who am I playing? I am playing.
Yeah, I don't know either.
A team that I plan on kicking the crap out of, Kevin's team. I am projected to win handily, unlike our match where we were projected very closely. But you're gonna have a good matchup for you. You're playing an 0-5 team who has been outscored every week by the
highest margin. I know, that's not gonna go well. The cockier I get now, the worse I'm gonna lose this weekend. Let's put it that way. That's just a matter of fact.
Well, we don't play each other again during the regular season, but I look forward to having my revenge in the playoffs. So do well enough to make the playoffs.
I bet that. Hey, who's Big Red?
That is Andrew.
I don't think I met him. He's had a good start to the season, I see.
He has.
How can he have both Peyton Manning and Eli Manning in his team? Shouldn't there be some rule against that?
Yeah, right.
Well, as long as he only plays them one at a time, it's okay.
That's true.
Just keeping it in the family.
But I think you should share. I mean, I've had to do some make some strange decisions on the quarterback front this year, and
yeah, I see you starting Ryan Tannehill this week.
You better believe it. Who's that?
Exactly.
Oh, I had to give away. Well, not give away. I had to just straight up cut RG3.
Oh yeah,
that's probably for the best, right? Since not throwing the ball.
Right. He only hurt like the thing that he uses to throw the ball.
Yeah, that's fine.
It worked out mostly. I think I have to do some. I had to do some creative rearranging, but.
I may have lost this week, but I can take solace in the fact that I have scored the most points this season, and I plan on continuing to do so.
Nice.
Well, you guys have an advantage in that you, first of all, you can watch the games live. Most of the games for us happen late Sunday to early Monday, so. and also you guys, I'm sure, can follow some more around, like the fantasy chatter and discuss these things with work and friends. But I'm solely depending on the Yahoo predictions for the current games. And sorry if this hurts your feelings, Brendan.
So I got beat by a robot, is what you're saying.
They're technically being beaten by a robot.
And then being written about by a robot. This is awesome.
Yes. I'm kind of, I mean, some of the, I get to watch some games every now and then, and I try to watch the playoffs. But I don't get to pay as much attention as I want to. But I'd say most of the players that I pick out are players that I, after every week, I read like the Yahoo guys fantasy recap, and like this week try to go with this player, and then I go see if that player is available, and if he is, then I see if I want to bring him into my team or not. But it's very much based on the predictions and projections of the computers that run the system over there.
Sorry. Was your did you draft live?
I was not able to this year. No.
So,
I ended up
so even not only is the initial lineup auto pick, the like ongoing lineup is also.
Yes.
Well, I guess you're still deciding to trust the picking, right?
Oh yeah, I haven't. Yeah, I'm like a general manager who comes into the office once a week, and then the transfer committee is like, yeah, boss, we'd like to change this guy out for this guy because he's going to score more points. And I'm like, let me see the predictions for the next 4 weeks. Yes. Well, okay, good. I sanction this deal. I'm kind of like that guy.
And then I'm going to go play some golf.
Yeah, I'm going to go off to play some golf now and travel a bit for the weekend.
I'm a free man. My destiny is in my own hands.
I am in a league with too many teams, so my destiny is also tied.
It's fun because when I started, I this year after the draft, I felt like I didn't know any of my players, and I didn't think it was going to look very good. But now it's coming together to be like I've chosen most of the players that are on there for a reason. And the reason is, well, good projected stats. Don't let me down now.
I would never abuse my commissioner powers and start messing with people's lineups or anything like that. Don't worry.
No,
nothing
no.
You're here.
Not until now.
Yeah, you know, Goodell has nothing on you, man. You're doing a great job.
Hey, I'm a great commissioner. I tell people when they don't have their lineup set.
You do.
I don't go with collusion. Yeah. I help people out.
Well, I'm impressed.
And then I just get salt dumped all over my wounds.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
I'm going to suspend your team.
For computer drafting or computer...
Yeah.
The latest league scandal.
We found some new elevator footage. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to suspend your team.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm looking forward to playing Ted down the line, because I don't know why, because he was giving you a lot of grief.
That's true. And I mean, I hate to root against my good friend, but... yeah, you better beat him.
He's behind
us. I'll never hear the end of it.
He's behind us in the standings at the moment. I mean, you're doing pretty well. You're in second place. I'm in fourth, and he's all the way down in fifth.
Yeah, way down. And he's only made one move. He's only switched one guy. So really, he's dependent on the computer.
Yeah, I play him in 2 weeks. I see here.
Oh, excellent. Cool. Well, we're closely approaching like kind of a time where, I don't know, it's how early or late is it for you? It's like 7?
Almost 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. And that's a.m.
That is a.m. in the morning. And to quote Bart Simpson, there's a 6 a.m. in the morning?
So we should, I want to be, you know, mindful of your time. It is a school day and all that kind of stuff. But I wanted to know, is there what like one thing, because I, you know, Brandon was saying you live in the future, and you actually do live in the future. You're
yeah, literally
9 hours ahead of us. What do I need to know to make it through today?
What do you need to know through to make it through today? I don't know. Currently, it's still dark over here. I don't know how the light situation is in California these days, but we're getting the fall darkness well and thoroughly in place. So,
do you need to install a big mirror to reflect the sun into your?
Yes. Do you guys read about that? That was very crazy.
We talked about it on the show, actually.
Right. It's a crazy plan, but it just might work. We have a cabin up by that little town, about a half an hour from that town, and we've been there a couple of times, and it really is crazy how little darkness they get. No, the sun they get during the winter.
Huh.
That this mirror thing might actually work. So, yeah, it's very, very strange. But
do you think we'll start seeing more mirrors around Norway?
I don't think so. Once winter kicks in here, I don't know if there are mirrors big enough to help out, really, to do a proper job for it.
Satellites.
Yes, mounted space. You
know, yeah. But you know, it's I remember I lived in San Francisco for 4 years, and when I moved back here, I remember the one thing that I really enjoyed was actually seasons. That it was actually there is a special thing about this place, and you really have different seasons. And then when fall comes around and the leaves start changing colors and go from green to yellow and orange and red, it's really beautiful, and makes you want to stay indoors more and light the fireplace and make hot cocoa. And then when you go through the winter and you come out on the other side and spring starts coming out, you just want to go outside and walk on the grass. And it's something that I didn't get as much in California, because the seasons are mainly just different strengths of wind.
Right. There's summer and not quite summer yet.
Yes. Yep. And then summer. So there's you know, my wife Cordelia always thinks it's sad with all the darkness, which I understand. But there's something nice about the seasons as well. You just kind of got to get your mind frame around it, I suppose.
Keen. Excellent.
So well, I guess to get through your day, you would need flashlights.
We actually got two sets of headlamps last year. and at the middle of winter, you kind of have sun from 10 to 3. So when you leave in the morning, it's dark, and when you come home in the evening, it's dark. And our 4-year-old son thinks it's fantastically cool to wear headlamps to kindergarten.
Oh, that does sound actually kind of cool.
It's all about make it. You know, if you're making an adventure, then it's the coolest thing in the world.
Right. Oh, that is the pull quote for the episode. Awesome. Awesome. Well, Jürgen, thank you so much for being on. It's an honor having you know, a champion in our midst.
whoa, week 5 winner.
It's just one game, Alan. Let's not let's
it's not the big game.
Let's chat again closer to December. See how it goes. I have faith in my team now. But thank you for having me on.
Thank you for joining us.
Cool. Well, let's see. I think we'll kind of we're recording this on an extra special day because we had a guest, so we'll be back on kind of our normal Tuesday release schedule next week. I think, barring any strange happenstances, I don't know.
You're not going to have another anniversary, are you, Alan?
No, probably not.
Okay. Well, the next Tuesday's probably safe.
Right on. Excellent. Well, Brendan, I will talk to you next week.
Until next time.